Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Well, apparently the five good emperors are going to give us kind of a light week this week.
Are they really? Well, that's very nice of them.
It is. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, we're just coming off of the election, you know, and it's been a very, very heated political season. I mean, for the last year, and it's finally over. And as I saw somebody say on Facebook, now we can all go back to being friends, which I thought was funny.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. So I just thought we would just kind of take it a little bit easy this week. And just talk about international relations. I mean, we've had several international incidents going on in the world that we needed to talk about, and we're basically going to focus on that this week. And then after we've taken this little breather, we'll come back and get back in and talk to some more theater people in the Southeast.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. And you, speaking of theater, dear, one little thing here. We're going to talk about your upcoming show a little bit later on.
Yes, we can. Yes, I can.
I haven't thought grammar. Okay, anyway, so...
Yes, we will. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. Okay. Here's 118.
Yes, we can.
Carlin Effect, go.
I read an article that cautioned people against shaken baby syndrome. Do people really need to be told this sort of thing? And if some people do need to be told, are these the kind of people who are very likely to heed the advice?
Thus saith George.
Thus ends his catechism.
So, John.
Yes, sir.
So, here on the show, we have taken the time to solve the economic crisis.
Right, right? Okay.
But now I have a solution to the energy crisis.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Well, yeah, why not?
Well, okay, I was going to do that after lunch.
Well, that's fine. I mean, either way.
The
sooner the better.
All right.
Two words. Okay. Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You ever shopped at Amazon.com?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know that you can search Amazon.com and through the Inexplicable Dumb Show website and searching Amazon just like normal, but you actually, Amazon will give us a little kickback on the stuff that you buy through that. You doing that?
So you want to go to inexplicabledumbshow.com and then hit the Amazon link to do all your shopping on Amazon.
Right. Yeah. No different. It's just that Amazon gives us a little kickback for helping you out, which helps us keep bringing the show for free and stuff. Right.
Sure.
So Amazon Prime, here's the thing. You know, I mean, you order something from Amazon and, you know, you have to, it takes, you know, 5-7 days or something like that to get it and all that stuff.
Sure.
Amazon Prime gives you the option to take faster delivery every month. Unlimited items, you get that option right away. And all you have to do is sign up for it.
So all you have to do is sign up for Amazon Prime, and your delivery time will be cut down dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Now, the question that I know that's burning on your tongue right now is the, how does that help us with the energy crisis?
Yes.
Okay. Very simple. Order from Amazon.com. You don't have to get out and go drive to get it.
Well, there you go. Drive less, save more.
What do you know?
Hmm.
So that one's done. Check off that one. Check that one off. What else do we need to solve today?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a lot for a day.
That is.
Economic,
let's take
and
a break.
Environmental.
Yeah. Let's take a break, I think.
Hey, man.
What?
Hey, did you hear you hear the news?
What news?
You know, the news. What? It's the news about.
What?
Well, this kind of ties in. Now, I don't know. We wanted to move away from political stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
But just kind of bear with me in the segue.
Okay.
Coming in,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Sure.
So Obama's elected.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
And there's been a spat of people who've said, "Well, I'm getting the heck out of here. I'm going I'm going to go to a different country."
Sure.
You know,
nobody ever does, but sure.
Right, right.
Got it. Yeah.
God bless you, and don't let the door hit you in the ass. Right.
Right? Right.
But here's another option.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another option for those people. Okay.
Oh,
true story. Donna and Joel Brinkle of Deltona, Florida, raised a family and held respectable jobs until in the 1990s. They declared themselves a sovereign nation. Okay, so you could do that. You could become your own nation and stopped paying taxes. Subsequently, the county took their home, and they now appear to be living on the handouts of their son and their church. But they've become irritations by filing property liens against government officials, including once President Clinton, who failed to recognize their independent authority.
Wow. How heartless.
Really? Once they tried to buy a $700,000 home with a, quote, money order drawn on their homemade currency. Which must have been the Brinkle.
Must have been.
Even though the Brinkle's game plan has failed on every single point, and Joel even did some jail time.
Really?
The couple remains chipper. According to an October Orlando Sentinel report, certain that some higher official will soon vindicate them.
No.
To the land of Brinkle. Brinkle.
Is that what they call it?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing.
Brinconia.
It's not a bad idea, really. Honestly, you know, I mean, it's really not a bad idea in terms of that whole, you know, that whole, you okay there?
Well,
oh, that must have missed the trash can because I just threw that away.
Yeah. See how easy it is?
Well, yeah, when you're right there over it.
And you're like a mile and a half away.
Yeah, I am. I don't know. Anyway, land of Brinkle. Here we are. Brinconia, whatever it is. Not a bad idea. You know, not a bad idea. Problem with it is that if they were to go out and get another job, would they have to pay some kind of, you know, excise tax for exporting their services somehow? Or, you know, what's their gross domestic product?
They'd have to get a work permit, too.
They'd have to, yeah.
Yeah,
a green card.
Yeah, as non-citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, God, think about what that does for illegal immigration. I mean, anytime they leave their yard.
Yeah.
We got to build a fence.
We do. We got to build a fence, keep the Brinkles in.
We need to build a fence.
But I mean,
no, keep them out. Excuse me.
Well, keep them in their own country.
Yeah, no, but I mean, keep them out of mine. That's
right.
All I care
absolutely.
About.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you know what they're doing.
What are they doing?
They're coming into this country and they're going to the hospitals and they're getting free medical care. You know? And who's paying for it? You and me, my friend.
That's right.
You and me.
And their son, apparently.
Well.
And the church they go to.
Well, okay, you don't have to get all nitpicky about it, but still, you know.
I know, details.
Don't piss on my argument,
Charles. Well, it's a very fluid argument.
I'm telling
you. I will say that.
That's all I'm saying, you know.
Can you just imagine? I mean,
they're coming over here and taking jobs that Americans just won't do, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't give an exact year in the article when they decided to be their own country,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the 90s. So we could probably say that safely it was at least 10 years.
Sure. At least 10 years.
So they've been living off of people for 10 years, their son and their church,
mm-hmm.
while not only filing now. Who files these liens?
Well, they do, I guess.
But who do they file them to? Because are they sending out Brinkle documents?
What they're basically doing is basically billing the United States government for use of their property.
Right. So, but I mean, doesn't that come through the official country?
Yeah.
As opposed to going over to the county courthouse and filing a lien against in the U.S. government
sure.
system.
Yeah. I mean, they have to keep the ties of diplomacy open. You know,
sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to. I mean, you can't just shut people out like that. You know, I mean, they have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they could. I mean, I guess negotiations could turn south, but you know, I mean, sooner or later.
Well, it was a little dicey. It was a little dicey in the late 90s when they had the embargo.
It was tough.
You know,
it was really tough. And I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, diplomacy is going to fail, and we're going to have to go in there.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Or we might win.
I'm just saying. Because
are they
a
terrorist state? Because they've
that depends on what they've done. You know.
Mm.
I mean, if they're a sovereign nation, just because just being a sovereign nation doesn't mean that they're a terrorist country. I mean, obviously, you know. We have to look at where their money's coming from.
Well, if it's coming from the son and
what's
the
their
church.
What's their church?
Right.
You know.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, if they're tied in with some kind of, I mean, who knows what kind of church it is, you know?
Right.
I mean, it could be an Islamist church, and if it is, they probably are.
You know? Right.
Because, I mean, that's how that goes.
Right. Yeah, that is how it goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well, it's all these other things that Obama's going to have to deal with.
Apparently, he's going to have to deal with
the Brinkles
down in Florida. Well, not technically down in Brinkonia.
That's right, Brinkonia.
You
know,
yeah. What do you think? What do you think they're?
You think they speak Brinkleese?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you think's on their currency? Would it be him or her? Would it be Donna or is it Joel?
Joel did the jail time, so I'm
well, he's probably some kind of a martyr then.
Yeah, so I mean, he's probably
like the Nelson Mandela of their country.
Yeah, so he's probably on the brinkle.
But see, here's the thing.
What they call it. I mean, we say dollar, brinkle dollar, but it could be the pound, or it could be the yen. You know,
yeah, it could be the chip.
The chip.
Or like a poker chip. That's probably what they're using is poker chips and just put pictures of themselves on it.
But I just think it's funny that they try to buy a $700,000 house with the money on it drawn. Just imagine that argument.
Where though? Where do they buy it? Where do they try to buy it?
Well, they didn't say. I'm assuming.
If they try to buy it now, all of a sudden does their country move?
That's very true.
I mean, they're invading, dude.
Yeah,
that's how it starts.
It's an act of aggression.
That is very much an act of aggression. Because that's how it starts. You know, they've got their one little parcel of land.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they try to buy this thing, you know.
Yeah.
They're spreading their territory. They're colonizing.
Well, I mean, they're actually, to be honest, they're probably, I mean, we did sort of take their house. So, I mean, we did kind of aggress against them first, I suppose.
You can argue anything, but
you know, it was probably an empirical move on our part to try to take the home back.
That's true.
From them.
But think about, but see, and this is how it always goes with new countries. It always starts out in some kind of a response to something. And that's how America started. You know, mm-hmm, I mean, the tyranny of everything that was going on in Great Britain. You had the fall of the Roman Empire. You know, same kind of thing.
Right.
Pretty much throughout history, there's always been somebody who's been the aggressor and somebody who's been fighting against that. And you're right. They did. They fought against the tyrannical nature of the United States government. They surely did. Mm-hmm. But now look at where they are. They're trying to take over new countries. See what I'm saying? Well, they're trying to spread their thing. As soon as they're going to grow, their country's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I mean, it might even take up a block, you know, by like a decade from now, you know. But think about all of that stuff that they're going to do.
Well, I think the Brinkonia is going to be a country that is going to die.
See, I tend to be kind of optimistic, though. I mean, I'd like to give them a fair shot.
I think their population is going to pass on here in
well,
a few years.
How old are they? Did they say?
It didn't say, but they said they're living on handouts of their son.
Well,
right?
Well, dude,
it doesn't mean that he went with them, so now he's not necessarily a citizen of Brinkonia.
No, he's kind of a renegade. I mean, that's what I've heard.
He's gone rogue.
He has gone rogue.
But
I mean, think about it this way, though. I mean, you know, a good year and a half, they can double their population of that country. I mean, that's scary.
That is, yeah.
I mean, they've got to have some kind of population control there.
Mm.
I mean, some kind of population control measures have to be taken there in Brinkonia, because that's just, I mean, to do that in that short of amount of time, to double their population, that's just irresponsible. You know, they as a country need to be held accountable for that. What's their carbon footprint?
Wow, I think it's very small, actually.
Well, I mean, let's talk about things. Let's talk
per
about
capita.
Things. Let's talk about things on a percentage basis.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, that's probably up there pretty high.
Yeah, I was just gonna say when you factor it in, I mean, given the number of people in their country.
Yeah, that's very true.
Calling it per capita, that would, I mean, that's a very high carbon footprint.
Yeah, so they're environmental terrorists.
I bet they didn't sign the Kyoto Treaty either.
No, probably not. Probably withheld.
Sympathy that I just had for them is gone.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, you know.
How far is it from here?
Brinkonia?
Yeah. I say we put a Delta Force type team together and you and I go down there.
Because we are Delta Force material.
Well, if we walk, we might lose enough weight to actually be able to do something by the time we get down there.
It was a pretty fun video game. Maybe we can take them out virtually. But I wonder what caused all of a sudden for them to want to decide to become their own country. It doesn't say in the article.
Well, I imagine it's probably a tax revolt. But think about how they did it, man. They didn't secede.
No, because just anybody can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, you know what? Hell no. We're our own sovereign nation. Do you think they have elections? Or do you think it's kind of a benevolent dictatorship?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it might. They might have term limits.
Or they just kind of take turns as.
Yeah.
Take turns as, you know, president.
Yeah. Well, there could have been a coup because it doesn't explain how Joel got in jail.
It's so true. That's so true. She could have done
Donna,
something.
Donna could have set him up.
Yeah, Donna could have. Wow. Yeah. Man, politics is nasty.
It's pretty. We thought we had it bad in this country, but yeah. In Brinconia.
Wow. It's. You know, I think, well, that's something that we should all take an example from right there. You know, because look at, I mean, just in that short amount of time, look at how corrupt their system has become.
It has. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a sign of the times. And I think that if we're not careful, we in America could wind up the same way.
You know, I think we ought to try to bridge the gap there and set up a cause page on Facebook for Brinconia.
All right.
Kind of be an international sort of arm to kind of shore up some of our differences.
Kind of like our own little Amnesty International kind of thing? Or
yeah, I mean, I think we ought to see it.
It's our own little personal Darfur, I guess.
Well, yeah, sort of.
I mean, there's no genocide or anything like that, but I mean, still, but
the situation is ripe for that sort of thing.
It is. I mean, we talked about the population boom. Think about what one instance of genocide could do.
Yeah, it's.
It could destroy half their country.
Brinconia is on the brink, so to speak.
It could very well be.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't let countries fall like that, you know?
No, we shouldn't.
We need to support them.
We do.
We need to get behind them. And
that should be the new mission of our
I mean, they're people too, you know?
They are people.
I mean, that's what I've heard.
They are people. People very close and probably use our same. We probably have a common tongue.
We probably do.
You know?
Or at least it's pretty close. I'm sure there's probably, you know, a few differences here and there.
Well, there's some colloquialisms, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, there always is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, the British call fries chips.
Right.
You know? I mean, I wonder what they call, you know, that there's always that kind of cultural. I mean, there's so many similarities, but there's always so many, you know, just little tiny nuances of cultural difference, you know, that always spring up.
Maybe we could set up an international fair so they could come over. And show us.
Think they've ever been to Geneva?
No, probably not. Well, I can't say that. I mean, I don't know. I'm just becoming aware of Brinconia.
Well, I am too. I'm just thinking of the possibilities, you know.
That would seem, you know, they're looking for a higher power, higher official, to vindicate them. So I would probably think that would be their next step is try to go to UN, try to go, you know, get an international alliance together.
Yeah. Of support.
Of support.
And they may do it.
Yeah.
They may get it.
Yeah.
Now, do they have an immigration policy themselves? I mean, if people want to immigrate to Brinconia, is there like a ton of paperwork you have to go through customs?
I think it's a little involved.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I think it's not a two-way street, you know.
No,
that's
it's not.
The thing we need to work on is, you know, Brinconia feels free to just to walk into our country and do things, but they don't really want to, you know.
No, ever. It's always the way, you know.
It doesn't want to seem to want us to go to their country, so. Mm-hmm.
And I bet you if you went over there, they wouldn't just hire you.
No. They probably have a bias towards natural Brinconians.
That's a shame, man. I mean,
Brinkalese.
See, that just begs for more support, though.
Really?
Well, we need to, the same kind of change that we found here in this country, we need to take there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think the main thing is change they can believe in.
Yeah, right.
Because
right now, I don't think it sounds to me like they've got a lot of issues.
Well, they do have some issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a picture of their flag anywhere up there, is it?
No, it's just a text.
Well, you can't be a country without a flag.
Just because this doesn't have one.
They have currency, though, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It's,
in Joel we trust.
The Donna. Maybe that's what
that
they call
is.
It.
It's the Donna. Donna. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I bet that's their national anthem. Richie Valens. Oh, Donna.
Oh, Donna. Whoa, that's very good. Maybe let's see if they're... Here, let me just...
Doing a little Google search on them.
Yeah, let me just see what I can come up with.
See, but, you know, if they get a website, you know, like brinconia.gov.
That would be funny. Let's see. Here we go. Well, I think that's Donna Brinkle. There you go.
Is that a picture of her?
That's the first lady of Brinconia.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think they're in any danger of doubling their population anytime soon.
Lives in the Lone area of Sanford, Florida. Geographically, I mean, minus the little area that
sure.
they...
Sure, yeah. That's the area known as.
Right.
Yeah.
Formerly.
Yeah.
Sanfordana and Joel Brinkle used to own 5 acres in Geneva.
They have been to Geneva. Well, there you go.
That's where they raised their family. Joel worked as a manager at the Florida Power and Light Company. Donna is a former deputy court clerk. Excuse me, deputy court clerk.
Now, that's here in America, though, right?
Right. This is before the
Declaration.
Right.
Okay.
Then in the 1990s, they stopped paying taxes and declared themselves independent of all government authority. They have been battling government ever since. Joel, 76, went to jail. Then the IRS went after their money and Seminole County sold their home because of unpaid taxes.
Mm.
Now they face a new battle. Florida's attorney general is suing them, accusing them of fraud and harassment for filing a lien naming 4 Seminole County officials, Sheriff Don Eslinger, State Attorney Norm Wolfinger, Clerk of Courts Marianne Morse, and Clayton Simmons, Chief Judge of the 18th Judicial Court. The couple recorded the lien in April, claiming ownership of every piece of property held by those officials. See, that's the act of aggression
Yeah.
Suit asks a judge to throw out the claim.
That's imperialism.
Yep, and to ban the Brinkles from filing any more liens against public officials unless it is done by an attorney or with a court order. It also asks a judge to bar the state and the county from accepting any more liens from the couple unless they are done by an attorney or with a court order. Dozens of liens in 6 years. All told, the Brinkles have filed more than 24 liens in the past 6 years, according to government records.
Hmm.
They name...
Which government?
Well, I think it would be our... Yeah, the American government.
Okay.
They name many people, including former President Clinton, a Sanford lawyer who sued the Brinkles in a land dispute, a Longwood company that towed their vehicle, and a deputy court clerk who insisted that the Brinkles pay the standard fee to record a document.
Hmm.
They file those liens, Donna Brinkle said, to fight back against people who have done them wrong. They try to...
That's how it all starts, right?
They
there.
Try to persecute... Quote, this is Donna herself. They try to persecute my husband and myself to keep us from living a normal and peaceable life when we do absolutely nothing to harm another soul, she said.
Yeah. That's how it starts.
Liens allow creditors a way to collect money they're owed. Here's how they work. Carpenter builds a house, but if the owner doesn't pay, the builder can then record a lien in county land records. If the owner tries to sell the house, he can until the lien holder is paid. The attorney general's suit filed only on behalf of Judge Simmons says he owes the couple nothing. The Brinkles filed it, according to the suit, to harass him and to try to wreck his credit. Simmons discovered the lien when he tried to refinance some property, he said. He does not remember the Brinkles, he said, but a month before they recorded the lien, Joel Brinkle appeared before him accused of driving without a license.
Well, an American license.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Simmons said the evidence concluded there was a probable cause for the arrest. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, there's the international incident right there.
Mm.
Law unto themselves. There's a law against creating...
How long did that take? I wonder, is that like the... I mean, we had our own little Cuban Missile Crisis going on with that whole thing about him, his little driver's license thing. We didn't even know it.
Right.
Back in the 90s. That's dangerous, man.
Yeah, well, that type of thing wasn't covered back then. There's a law against creating fraudulent document, but the Brinkles contend they have committed no crime. They have been arrested in connection. They have not been arrested in connection with the liens, and they have not been prosecuted for failing to pay taxes.
Hmm.
And there's a page 2, so let's see what they're. But she's kind of a remarkable first lady there. I guess,
yeah, she's definitely got the. I mean, she just carries herself really well. You know,
that's the way it should be," said Donna Brinkle, 72. Because the government has no authority over them. We put ourselves outside the jurisdiction of the state, she said. But Joel Brinkle keeps getting arrested for driving without a license.
Well, he's driving across international borders, too.
There you go. So far, it has happened 3 times.
Mm.
He doesn't need a license, he said, because just like his wife, he has proclaimed himself a sovereign nation.
You know, you'd think diplomatic immunity would take effect at some point.
I wonder when that kicks in. In 1998, he went to jail for 7 months for contempt of court when he refused repeatedly to answer a judge's questions, according to court records. That's all, quote, that's all I told the judge. I would not participate in my own prosecution, Joel Brinkle said.
Mm, technically, he can't. I mean, you know.
Right.
It doesn't have to.
When the Brinkles declared their tax independence, they owned those 5 acres in Geneva. Now they rent an apartment in a low-income section of Sanford. They have central air conditioning and heat, but can't afford to run it.
Mm.
When Donna needed dental work, the couple's church and one of their adult sons paid for it, Donna Brinkle said. They scraped by on $1,300 in monthly Social Security benefits, she said. designs on the $700,000 house. Yet in February, the Brinkles tried to buy a $700,000 house in Alachua, a prestigious gated community in Seminole County, from Hunter Paschal, a Longwood property investor. Instead of money, however, they presented him with a homemade money order. Although the deal fell apart, the Brinkles recorded the sale had been done. County land records show. According to Donna Brinkle, that money order was perfectly valid. As head of her own sovereign country, she has the power to create her own monetary system, and she did. So that answers the question.
It is
she's
the Donna.
On, she's on. Yeah, it is yeah. the Donna. A judge disagreed, ruling that Paschal was the rightful owner. The Brinkles filed liens against him, his wife, and his company. Donna Brinkle said she has not given up on taking ownership of the Alachua house, just as she has not given up on reclaiming her 5 acres in Geneva. It's still mine. It's still my and my husband's, she said. All we like is someone with a bigger stick than they have in Seminole County.
Wow.
And this is fascinating information from Renee Stutzman of the Orlando Sentinel.
I just didn't realize though, all this international strife was going on down there. I mean, I really didn't. You know, I feel out of the loop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we had other things to deal with, really. I mean, you know, we had to worry about hanging chads in Florida and stuff like that. That was a smokescreen.
Yeah. Well, of course it was.
For the Brinkles.
Of course it was.
You know?
I mean, there's always some kind of international incident being covered up, you know?
Mm.
Always.
So, there you have it.
But I mean, that's yet something else that the Bush administration inherited from the Clinton administration, you know?
Right.
Problems,
yeah.
Those kinds of problems like that. And it looks like Obama's probably going to inherit that same issue.
Right. Cause it seems like it's going to go around and around.
Yeah. I think, though, I mean, since Obama's big thing is, and I know we're getting back into politics, but, you know, since he focuses so much on diplomacy, I think that might be. It may be the kind of change that is really needed. Who knows?
Well, this might be a perfect opportunity to score some, pretty good PR points right at the top.
Yep. Well, that's true. You know? And I mean, and it would definitely increase at least a little bit. It would increase our standing, or you know, our view, our how we look as a country to foreign nations.
Internationally, yeah.
It's amazing to me that I didn't even know. I mean, I know the number of countries in the world is constantly changing. I just didn't.
Not just so didn't, close though. You wouldn't suspect.
I didn't know. No, I really didn't. Really didn't. But you know, that makes that whole guy looking to secede up in Alaska thing. That makes it look just petty, you know? I mean, these guys actually did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trying to, you know, they weren't just trying to.
Now, again, I mean, they just all talk in Alaska.
Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, right? I mean, these guys, these two.
Let's have a little fun raising.
Just, boom.
Yeah, there it is.
Done. It sounds like it's worked out well for them, though. It really does.
Well, you know, I mean, they are scraping by. So.
Well, it's tough to start a country.
It's a third world country real close in Florida.
It is.
I mean, they're a third world, maybe even a fourth world.
And, you know, you think about it. Think about how long it really took this country to get on its feet. You know,
that
didn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, that's for sure. Yeah. And Brinconia definitely won't be.
Right.
You know. So, thanks for bringing that to our attention.
No problem.
I didn't realize you were so big on foreign affairs.
I specialize in it, actually.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, this is my humanist side here.
Yeah.
So.
I'm really impressed, John. I really am.
Well, thank you.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
You got any idea on this?
Five good emperors,
yeah.
You say.
Yep.
Five good emperors.
Yep.
Five good emperors.
Any idea on who they might be?
Wow.
Can you name the five?
You know, because good and emperors, I mean, we're trained not to really.
It's tough.
To think of emperors as being good.
It is tough.
So,
well, the five good emperors were Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian, Antonius Pius, and Marcus Aurelius.
Oh, the Roman emperors.
Yep.
Okay.
I thought,
okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm going way back on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they ruled between the five of them together. Their reigns lasted between 96 and 180. And the term actually refers to five consecutive emperors of the Roman Empire who represented a line of virtuous and just rule. Wow. The term was coined by Machiavelli in 1503.
Oh.
Okay. So I mean, well, it's always posterity that goes back and looks at these things and shows that
Machiavellian. I mean, that's
Well, I mean, don't judge the word just because of who said it. You know.
Right.
I mean,
the thing that he would call. It would, I thought it, things yeah, okay, were Machiavellian. Of, they weren't.
It was. It's a matter of opinion, I guess. But I mean, that's what I'm just saying. That's what he called it. Okay. That's what he called him.
All right.
So how that ties back in here?
Yeah, that would be a good start.
Yeah. Well, it's a good finish.
Oh. Right? Okay. All right.
So what happened is in the year 117, Trajan subdued a Judean revolt and then fell mysteriously ill, leaving Hadrian in control of the East.
Okay, so
and that was in the year 117.
Trajan
was actually the emperor at the time.
Uh huh.
But he subdued a Judean revolt.
Okay, so he stopped a Jewish revolt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then felt somehow, giving you air fingers.
You're messing with God's people. Though.
Yeah, but I mean that still, I honestly think he was poisoned. I mean that's what I've always thought. But then he had to leave Hadrian in command of the East. After that, and that all happened in 117.
Wow.
And then, of course, that same year, Trajan died.
Well,
and Hadrian became the new emperor, became his successor, and that happened on August the 9th. Mm-hmm. And he would remain in power until 138.
Jews get rid of him then too?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine he was an excellent officer, had a brilliant career, well cultured man.
He I always gave loved the well-cultured man executed yeah. five people by himself.
Right. He gave up the policy of conquest of his predecessors in order to consolidate his empire. Turned large parts of Mesopotamia and the Parthians as part of a peace settlement. Returned it to them. Gave it back. As part of a peace settlement. That's Hadrian. Yeah.
He built a wall too. Do you know that in Scotland he built the wall?
Mm-hmm. 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 He also began the construction
he
of the Pantheon.
He did build a wall.
No, I'm not. He began construction on the Pantheon in Rome, too, in that same year, 117. Guy did a lot right there, right off the bat. He just came out of the gate running. So, anyway, that's my five
good
emperors.
I would, too, if the guy in front of me got mysteriously ill.
Yeah, I know. I still think he was poisoned.
Yeah.
But, I got no proof.
Maybe that's historical precedence for the survival of Israel.
Could be.
Could
be. What do you got for me for 118?
One wheeled, right? Is that what I said?
I think, yeah.
One wheel?
One wheel, yeah.
One wheel vehicle? No, one wheel. Yeah. One wheeler, one wheeler.
One wheeler, that's it, okay. So what do you got for me for 118?
Jesus.
You want to do it again?
Yeah.
What do you got for me for 118?
118, I'm going to call one wheeler.
As in wheel, like a round wheel?
It's like wheel.
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 Okay. Well, I just want to make sure it wasn't, like a... I mean, I don't know what a wheeler is, but, Whether the weather is...
Yeah, there you go. We'll beat a tattoo at 22 with a reddit-a-tattoo. Okay.
So, anyway.
One wheeler.
One wheeler. Okay.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So that was it. 118. Five good emperors.
Five good emperors. Who knew? Who knew?
I know.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, I thought since we were going in...
I mean, that was good because you could do international stuff, but historical stuff, and you worked in Machiavelli, which is, challenge.
I know. It was a tough thing to wrap up. And put it all together with a nice little bow on it, but I think it worked out well. And again, it's kind of a light week, here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to take a
breather, two shows in 1 week. So,
yeah, from the election. Congratulations on the election special, by the way. I think that was some good work.
Dude, I worked really hard on it.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell.
All these folders around with all the pie charts.
That's true. Let me show you a chart. my friends. you wanted to talk about a show you got coming up.
I do, my friends.
My friends.
My friends.
John's doing a show.
God.
Come on, John, tell us about your show. And we wonder why he wasn't elected. Anyway.
Would you notice all the concession speech, a lot of that nervous tick stuff was
yes.
gone?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the pressure's off, Johnny.
So anyway.
Joey Plummer wasn't watching. Anymore.
He's on tour now, I think.
Yeah, I think he is. Joe the Plumber and the Pussies.
Wow.
Well, you know, to quote from the show this past week.
Oh, yeah. The backup band. Uh-huh.
John Q. Bulbick and the Pussies. That's one of my favorite lines of the show. Anyway, so,
so
your show
Joe
coming
the
up.
Plumber, just a sidebar before we hit it. Joe the Plumber's backup band could be the Ballcocks.
It could be. I didn't think about that. That's good. You're really on it today.
I'm feeling it for some reason.
Sure. Well, what kind of show are you doing then? And what do you need to tell us about it?
I'm doing Summer and Smoke by Tennessee Williams. The show's in February, but I'm having auditions for all our local kids that are listening. All two of you.
Well, it's open. It's an open audition, though, right?
It is. Yeah, anybody can show
anybody
up.
In the community or mm-hmm. anybody in the country.
Yeah.
Internationally.
Yes.
People could show up.
Yeah.
People from...
don't expect to be paid, but you could show up, definitely. I mean, if you... you know, I think I've talked to Brian Stokes Mitchell, and he's going to work with me pro bono.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you expecting to have any of the what was her name? Brinconians?
No. Brinconians? Well,
are you going to have any
the Brinkleys might actually...
Brinkleys, okay.
Might actually send up a contingent, but we've still haven't really... They haven't...
Well...
Visas are a problem.
It's all that... It's all that international bias.
Well, you know, it's just,
plus you'd have to give them work permits. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's
a big old mess.
Well, I mean, because it's educational, they can be kind of they can come on a student visa.
No, well, that's true. Or an educational visa. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. But the paperwork, you know,
it'd be a nightmare.
It's going to be a little tough.
Okay.
But
anyway,
no,
so the auditions are
Sunday, November 16th, 1 o'clock to 3. Long stories. Long, I guess. Originally, this production was going to be directed by one of our colleagues who has fell ill with his cancer and stuff. And he's doing better, but not really enough great enough shape yet to
tackle that project.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was asked to take that over, which I gladly did.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two rounds sort of auditions because there was already an audition. He had already held auditions,
oh, right.
but hadn't cast the show. And so I'm holding another round of auditions. And anybody who hadn't auditioned previously can come in the Studio Theater, Powell Dramatic Arts Studio Theater, Room 101, to perform Modern Monologue, 1 minute in length. And then I'm having callbacks that night. And so if you made it to round one, then round one people just come to round two at 6 p.m.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So that's Sunday, November 16th.
Awesome. Well, good luck, man. I hope that works out.
Me too.
So we'll be back next week with more theater news from the Southeast after our little breather here.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.